Falkor initiated the worldwide preaching of the modern Krishna consciousness movement. Of course, he and all the other acharyas in our Gaudiya Vaishnav line are eternal servants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna himself, in his most, Prabhupada uses the word munificent, generous, compassionate form, Prabodhananda Saraswati, in his beginning of his Chaitanya Chandramrita, Kavya, says, if I can remember, Ativimariyada Parama, Atyadavya, most extremely generous appearance of the Lord. The measure of his generosity is impossible. It's beyond all limits. How merciful Lord Chaitanya is in his desire to deliver the conditioned souls of Kali Yuga, who don't want to be delivered, who have very little qualification to deserve being delivered. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was extending himself beyond limit to attract and reclaim them. So it is the mood, it is incumbent, it is expected of the servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of his devotees, that they also manifest this kind compassion. There are, we can say, two extremes of Krishna consciousness, the right and the left side. On the right side, one must be very strict, not only with himself, but if he has responsibility to guide others, he has to be strict with them. A father has to be strict with his children. A ruler has to be strict with his subjects. And a guru has to be strict with his disciples to keep them on the right path. So this strictness is one virtue of Krishna consciousness, that we do not deviate. We do not compromise with ourselves, and we don't compromise in our preaching and our guiding of others. But that's one end. The other end of the spectrum is kindness, compassion, liberality. If we were only to allow the living entities who were fit and qualified to serve Krishna, then we'd have very few devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not care who was fit and who was not fit, who was elevated and who was degraded. He gave his compassion, his mercy, and the opportunity to serve Krishna he offered to everyone. This is the other extreme, the extreme of kindness and liberality. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the most liberal. And among the acharyas who have appeared in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of the very most liberal of all of them is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We know of him as the external history of his life, of his, what we know of his, of how he lived from the outside, that he was a very kind and generous man. We don't know of him having enemies, harboring bad feelings against anyone. Even in his preaching, he was in a different style than his own son, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was very generous even in his preaching, very liberal, not one so much to find fault with anybody. There are different moods, even in preaching, which can all be authentic, bona fide. Different acharyas have different moods. One is more fault-finding than another, but both are good. Bhaktivinoda was extremely generous, we see in his external behavior. There's even one incident when he was earlier in his career, before he became established in the position of court magistrate, he was doing minor services in the civil service of the British government. He had to serve at one time as an assistant to a British tax collector, a man who was very corrupt and would go around extorting money unfairly from the farmers, poor farmers. He would steal from them. He would demand taxes that they actually didn't have to pay and keep the money for himself. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to serve as his assistant and participate in this crime. He did not like it, but he did his duty. For a short time, he finally quit that job and found some other. He got transferred to some other service. But he was so, let us say, tolerant, even of ill doers. He could not practically find much fault with anybody. So that is external, the kind of person he was that even material eyes could see. But more important than the fact that he was a kind man, there are so many kind gentlemen, but they don't have the power to change the world. What is more important than his material kindness, his material tolerance and generosity, was his transcendental, the transcendental reflection of the same thing. His inner compassion for the conditioned souls, reflecting the compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His desire that Krishna consciousness become universal. This should be the universal religion for Kali Yuga. Not just a Bengali Arisan sect. Not just for some people. Not just for those who can follow the regulations of the Babaji path. Not just for renunciants. Not just for male or female, or people of any particular nationality or race, but for the whole universe. This is the vision of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and this vision was perfectly embodied in the person of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wanted to see Krishna consciousness spread all over the world. Krishna is God. He doesn't belong to just some people. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishwambara, the maintainer of the whole universe and of every living entity in that universe. So why shouldn't every living entity in the universe worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? This was the vision of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he began the worldwide preaching. We can say he planted the seeds. He made the plans that were later carried out by his son Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and by his most prominent disciple A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. But the vision and the ideas what to do and how to do them came from all from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He wrote many important books, many of them in Bengali, some of them in Sanskrit, some in English, presenting the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam and the personal teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that the people of the modern world could understand. He was very concerned with reaching a broad audience. We see this also in the writings of Srila Prabhupada. This is Prabhupada's genius. He took the purports of our acharyas, Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, And he wrote, he took those commentaries and wrote his English purports, presenting the essence of those teachings, but presenting it in language and in simple ideas that we, even we, could understand. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't go to America. He left that for his great-grand disciple. He was preaching mostly in his own Bengal, in Orissa. He traveled a little bit more. He was doing some preaching, or at least he was writing books and writing songs in Assami also. I don't know if he went to Assam. Mostly he was staying in Bengal and Orissa. That's where he was doing his government service. His health from his very birth was not very good. That was a practical limit on what he could do physically. He was often sick with fevers and so on all his life. But still, he did so much to establish the foundation of the modern Krishna consciousness movement. He discovered Sridham, the real location, Sridham Mayapur, the real location of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. The caste Goswamis in Nabadweep were basically doing business on the claim that Nabadweep city was the Avirbhav Stan of Lord Chaitanya. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur showed that this was not true, that this very city didn't exist 250 years before. That evidence was there in maps, in various shastras, that the real Mayapur, the real birthplace, appearance place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was on the other side of the Ganga. He attracted a lot of attention. His own Diksha Guru, Bipin Bihari Goswami, and others, other prominent Vaishnavas, supported him at first in this claim that Mayapur was the real place of Lord Chaitanya's birth. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur made plans to make Mayapur a very prominent place. He collected money and organized the construction of a temple of, I think, Gauranga Lakshmi Priya there at Mayapur Dham and in Antudweep. And he made big publicity and preaching and brought many people to Mayapur. But unavoidably, this became very controversial. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not one to make enemies, this did make him enemies. The claim that Nabadweep was not the real birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. The caste Goswamis and others who had vested interests became very violently opposed to this idea. And even today, down to this day, the conflict goes on between those who claim that Mayapur is the birthplace and those that claim that Nabadweep city is. Anyway, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the vision, made the arrangements and the plans. It's a very famous incident that when he retired from his government service, he finally made his permanent residence. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram Shri Gurdi. In 1893, Bhaktivinoda Thakur finally retired from government service. He had already lived for some time in Mayapur when he was serving as magistrate in Krishnanagar. Actually, he was living in Krishnanagar. He built his house in Sarup Ganj, in Gotur Madweep. Swasukha Dakunja.
the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He built this earlier in the 1880s when he was serving as magistrate in Krishnanagar. And the government even built a private railway line from Krishnanagar, or they, for the benefit of Bhaktivinoda Thakur especially, they built this railway line, narrow gauge, that is still running today from Krishnanagar to Godrumadweep. And he would commute from there, and he would spend as much time as he could wandering around Nabadweep Dham, doing his personal parikramas and meditating on the pastime places of Lord Chaitanya. But only in 1893 did he finally retire and take up permanent residence in Navadvipa. And there's the incident we hear of, that he was sitting on the veranda of his house looking across the Jalangi and had a vision of a vast golden city rising up on the other side of the Jalangi River. A great spiritual city for the glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this was his vision. He saw the ISKCON Mayapur project before, 100 years before it was built. And he wrote that, when will the day come when the Americans, Germans, Russians come together in Sridham Mayapur to chant Jai Satchinanda together. So he saw what should and will happen in the future. He saw how his hopes and vision of a universal Krishna consciousness movement would be established. He saw his own practical limitation, that he could not himself go around the world to preach. He wrote some books in English and sent them to the West, but he had no opportunity to do that. He could not even find the time to translate Srimad Bhagavatam and publish it. He never had a chance to do that. That was done by his son later on. So he saw the need, that he needed help. He prayed to Krishna to send, he said, a ray of Vishnu, a son, to assist him. He had many children. Of his children, only two of them became Vaishnav sadhus. His youngest son, Bimala Prasad Dutt, appeared in answer to his prayers to help him implement his plans of establishing Krishna consciousness for the whole world. And he passed on to his son the work of publishing many books, translations and presentations of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Shastras, of the Bhagavatam, the Gita, and the works of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He trained up his children, his whole family, in publishing work. He even told them, I will not support you if you don't assist me in this publishing work. I won't maintain you. I'm not your father if you don't help me print and publish books. So all the children in the family were trained up in editing work and press work, publishing books. In this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, from his childhood, became well trained up in the business of publishing transcendental literature. That was his first assignment. And the second main assignment was to develop Sridham Mayapur and make it world famous. And we see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati established an organization, the Gaudiya Math, to carry out the plans of his father. Some may criticize, some are envious, do not understand the real mood and intentions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And they think that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati did not was not empowered and authorized by his father to carry out his mission. And that actually, his innovations, the innovations of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati were a deviation. Some claim this. Some misunderstand Bhaktivinoda Thakur to that degree. But actually, although Bhaktivinoda may not have done these things himself, these were his intentions. That a worldwide organized movement be established for spreading Krishna consciousness. That Sridham Mayapur be developed as a world center of Lord Chaitanya's religion. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati carried this out. He built a whole spiritual city in Mayapur, established the Chaitanya Mutt, Sri Vasangan, and other temples in the area, and brought many, many people, many devotees came there to be trained up, and even the British would come to visit. He would have great festivals and invite the British government men, scholars would come to Mayapur, foreigners, and he would accommodate them. We see one picture of him sitting at tea, high tea, with some British men and ladies. You know, I guess they served them tea, and then you see the rasgullas and other sweets. You know, and there Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is sitting with the British ladies and gentlemen. He even told his disciples, they said, well, if we bring these people here, they're meat eaters, what will we feed them? He actually arranged for non-vegetarian catering to be provided from Calcutta to feed his non-vegetarian guests. So he would do anything within reason to promote the glories of Sridham Mayapur and to spread Krishna consciousness in the pure way. Anyway, I'm talking about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. It's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. But this is the mission of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is the living mission. It's not just history of what happened 150 years ago. Something in the past. But this is going on. The Gaudiya Mutt and now ISKCON are the fructification of the plans and hopes of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is his mission. We are following and carrying out the mission of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is most intimate servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as Srila Rupa Goswami is glorified as knowing the inner heart of Lord Chaitanya, and Sri Swarup Damodar even more. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati considered his father direct representative of Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami. Especially because, like Sri Swarup Damodar Goswami, like Srila Sanatan, Srila Rupa Goswami, and Raghunath Das, they understood the inner intention and plans of Lord Chaitanya, what he wanted to be accomplished in this world. And with empowered by that vision, they were able to practically plan and implement the ways and means to spread Krishna consciousness in a pure and effective way. This is the special empowerment that we have inherited in ISKCON. How to actually save the world. Not just save ourselves. We are meant to also embody in our own lives this, not only the strictness but also the compassion. Our business is to preach. Our business is to give Krishna consciousness to everyone we can entice to take it. Whoever we can get to accept anything of Krishna consciousness, we should work for that purpose. Yare deko dahe koho Krishna upadesh. Whoever you meet, tell them something about Krishna. Whoever you come near, whoever you live with, whoever you work with, You should enlighten them, waken up their hearts to the real purpose of their life. This is showing living compassion. And this is the mission of our acharyas, starting with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, so I'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any further thing to say? Or maybe some question? Yes, Prabhu.
So the term Goswamis, it means that they're related to the original Goswamis, or what?
They call themselves Goswamis. Some of them, not just the six Goswamis. In fact, the six Goswamis, first of all, were, they may have been Grihasthas in their previous life, but they didn't establish dynasties. You know, we don't know who, we don't hear about the family of Rupa Goswami, or, you know, the caste Goswamis in that line. They turned over the worship of their deities to their disciples, who mostly were Grihasthas, some were Brahmacharis. But the caste Goswami families come from Lord Nityananda, from Advaitacharya, and so on. And from some of the Goswamis, like we have Shyamananda. Shyamananda was a householder also. Srinivasacharya, he was Grihastha. So they founded families. And the caste Goswamis, Jati Goswami, they claim the position of Acharya by birth, because they are coming in the bloodline of the original Acharya, be it Nityananda Prabhu or Srinivas Acharya. They claim that we are the authority, we are the Acharya, and you should take your Diksha from us. So, in principle, this is rejected by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That the Jati Gosai constitute one of the 13 upasampradayas, false representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not that every single caste Goswami is bogus, but the basic principle that just by birth you are a great Vaishnav and guru, that is rejected. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not earned just by taking birth in a certain family. Nor is anybody disqualified by not taking birth in such a family. That principle is rejected. That because of whose descendant they are, therefore they're automatically Goswami and Acharya. Goswami means one who has completely controlled his senses and given his life completely to Krishna. We see practically how these families have degenerated over the generations. How nowadays many of these caste Goswamis are very degraded and materialistic. Not all, but the tendency is there. And many of these temples are grossly mismanaged, and the property of the deity is sold for personal purposes and abused and misused. And the caste Goswamis, many of them have become extremely materialistic and offensive. So, anyway, that's what a caste Goswami is. You know, actually, before Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his followers reorganized the Krishna consciousness movement for the modern times, what we had were the Goswamis and their disciples, their Grihastha disciples, and the Babajis and their disciples, and that was the movement. That's, you know, Krishna, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya meant the Goswamis and the Babajis, and that's it. Okay, so they certainly throughout the centuries were very influential, because the Babajis, although they were renunciants and therefore had great influence, the Goswamis owned and controlled many of the temples and had many disciples, so they also were very influential. A power to be reckoned with. But anyway, as a class, we do not recognize this principle. Although we judge each individual separately. But as a principle, you cannot claim the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just by whose son you are, by your birth. That is a materialistic principle, and it has nothing to do with the actual transcendental process of getting the Lord's mercy. Anything else? Well, this is, it's very hard to trace out the actual history, because there's so much on both sides of the controversy. There's so much hearsay that is not substantiated by any written evidence or any real proof what actually happened. What was the actual nature of the relationship between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his Diksha Guru? What we can trace out historically is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur had faith in his guru, and his guru was very pleased with his disciple. It was only, and actually Bipin Hari Goswami was younger than Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was born in 1850. Bhaktivinoda Thakur took initiation, and his wife both took initiation from Bipin Bihari Goswami in 1879. And soon after, Bhaktivinoda Thakur began his active preaching. He glorifies Bipin Bihari Goswami in some of his books. Bipin Bihari Goswami wrote some kind things glorifying his disciple also. The relationship apparently was good. But after the Tirobhava of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this controversy over Sridhar Mayapur became so feverish that Bipin Bihari Goswami was influenced to join the other side and oppose the claim that Mayapur was... at least, I'm not even sure if this is correct history. This may be falsified also, or just hearsay. But it seems that Bipin Bihari Goswami rejected Bhaktivinoda Thakur after Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance because of the controversy over Mayapur. Then the history of what was the relationship between Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Bipin Bihari Goswami, that's also based on incidents that are reported, but we don't know the real authenticity of these. So it's hard to tell. I mean, there was a real relationship there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did accept Bipin Bihari as his Diksha Guru, and vice versa. He was honored as a good disciple by his guru, at least in the beginning. What happened afterwards, it's hard to trace out. The thing is that in our parampara that we present, we show the Shiksha parampara. We don't have Bipin Bihari Goswami on our altars. But that's the transcendental arrangement of our acharyas, Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The history of it is hard to trace out.
Sometimes those who belong to different parivars.
Yes.
Ask those families.
Yes.
And their disciples. Sometimes they ask, which parivar you belong?
Well, we're coming from Lokanathas Goswami. Yeah, and his line. So, our acharyas, well, actually, after Lokanatha Goswami, the four generations after that were grihasthas. But Lokanatha Goswami himself was I don't think he had a family after him. You know, I don't think he left a dynasty. He was a renunciant. We're coming in that line. We're not. In a parivar, in the sense of some bloodline, but we have our diksha line, our shiksha line and diksha line. We have both. Thing is, we're not as extremely caught up in the external considerations as others. You don't automatically become Krishna conscious just by diksha either. You know, you have to practice sadhana also. It's very important. But if you put all the emphasis just on diksha, you know, that you've got your paper, your pedigree, that you come in this line, and you don't perform any sadhana or very little sadhana, what's the use? You know, so we're more concerned with the transcendental relationship than the externals of it. There may be some external irregularities. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur may have taken his sannyas diksha from a picture.
of Guru Kishore Das Babaji. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Guru Kishore Das Babaji are transcendental personalities. We should not judge them materially. They can do things that other people can't. So, anyway, those who are more concerned with these external matters will complain. And what can we do? The facts are the facts. We're following the great personalities who are personally empowered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to carry out his mission. And that's all we're concerned with. We're happy with that. Yes. Yes. But we can say we are in the line of Lokanath Das Goswami, of Narottam Das Thakur. This is our line. Lokanath, Narottam Das, then four generations later Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is our line. That's a good enough line. That's a good enough parivar. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. And if they want to see, where's your pedigree, where's your Diksha connection? Anyway, we can show that also. They may go in a different direction. They may go back to Janavamata through Bipin Bihari Goswami. But we have our Diksha connection also. Okay? Anything else? Okay. Thank you. Yes?
What is the difference between Vishnumurti and Vishnumurti? Sometimes, we respect Tulasinarayan. Sometimes we speak as a Vishnumurti.
Yes. Well, I think, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in the published books, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his books, this prayer is there in some books, and books of the Gaudiya Math, I think it's printed usually as Vishnu Bhakti. But devotees in ISKCON, and maybe in the Gaudiya Math also, have thought that this is no good. Why only Vishnu? We don't worship Vishnu. So the devotees make up their own mind to change it. You know, they don't like Vishnu Bhakti. Vishnu's not good enough for them. But I think that's concoction. That the original mantra is Vishnu Bhakti, Pada Devi. Because Tulasi Devi is worshipped by all the Vaishnavas. Even Nandvai, even Smartas sometimes worship Tulsi. So it's for the worship of Tulsi is for everybody. All the Vaishnavas. So it's a universal mantra. Vishnu Bhakti. Even those in the other sampradayas who are worshipping Narayana, they can also chant the same mantra, Vishnu Bhakti Pada Devi. We like to point out that we're really worshipping Krishna, but I don't think we should be changing the mantra. You know, ancient mantra, we shouldn't change it. Okay? I thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Avir Bhav Maha Mahotsav ki jai. Hare Krishna.